are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, September 24th, 2018. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, new accusers roil the Kavanaugh nomination as he preps his calendars. Meanwhile, Rod Rosenstein fired or resigned, or we don't know yet. On the Republican Senate Justice Committee, a staffer fired over past sexual harassment problems. Meanwhile, a right-wing operative on a leave of absence after a desperate pro-Kavanaugh conspiracy theory falls apart. Turns out it was a Raytheon lobbyist, now a top State Department advisor behind the Yemen war support over a $2 billion arms deal. Jeff Sessions has a new scheme to attack lawful immigrants. South Carolina besieged by floods following Hurricane Florence. Former Trump aide dosed his mistress with an abortion pill. That's nice.
Allegedly.
Bill Cosby set for sentencing this week.
Doop-a-doop.
Three-quarters of the overdose deaths in Ohio can now be attributed to fentanyl. And to round out your week, if we don't include Saturday's deadline for the government to shut down, Donald Trump will be heading the UN Security Council this week. Enjoy. All this, and if you can believe it, more on today's program. Folks, obviously, sort of an insane news day, weekend, ongoing. The Kavanaugh hearings, I think as we last left you on Friday, were still scheduled to be on Monday. By Friday afternoon, Ford and her team was given till 10 p.m. Friday night to agree to show up on Monday. That was extended. And so ultimately where we're at now is that Kavanaugh will be testifying and Ford will be testifying on Thursday. I believe there is a deal that is hammered out, although I don't know all of the details as of yet. We will get back to that. Subsequent to that, of course, there was a big story in The New Yorker about a second woman who had accusations stemming from her time at Yale with Brett Kavanaugh. Subsequent or simultaneously, Michael Avenatti was claiming to have a client who had knowledge of some horrible-sounding things that Mark Judge, the woman that Blasey Ford put in the room with Kavanaugh during high school, Mark Judge was involved with, which was at the very least hinted at in the New Yorker story. We will talk about that connection as well. People have a bit of a jaundiced eye towards Avenatti. And I think that's fairly legitimate. I mean, we should be skeptical of all this stuff. At one point though, the preponderance of evidence becomes fairly impressive. And then, of course, while that was happening, there were two other stories. One of an esteemed right-wing think tanker who had a blockbuster theory of a doppelganger. I mean, this is starting to sound like some type of parody that quickly fell apart. There is legitimate reason to question who was involved in trying to promote that story, which also libeled another individual. In addition, a key staffer on Chuck Grassley's team at the Senate Judiciary Committee turned out to have a sexual harassing past, and so he had to step down. And there's more, of course. Okay, so right now, Rod Rosenstein is headed to the White House. There have been multiple reports that Rod Rosenstein, who is the acting AG in terms of the massive Russia investigation, and the Russian investigation is expansive. Just a refresher. The Russian investigation existed before Robert Mueller. It was, perhaps, at that time, it was a, I believe, strictly a national security investigation. The FBI was involved. Then, of course, Comey is fired. There may have been some pursuit of a criminal investigation at that point. Comey is fired. Sessions is recused. Rod Rosenstein oversees Mueller, who is appointed as the special counsel. And so just to catch you up with that, so if Rod Rosenstein is fired or resigns, now, my understanding is it is relevant, not just because of the optics of Donald Trump firing Rod Rosenstein and it making it look like he is actively obstructing an investigation, but according to the Federal Vacancies Reform Act, Trump has the power to appoint an acting AG if it's a resignation. If he's fired, it becomes a little bit more murky. Now, I don't know who stops that from happening, right? I mean, I guess you would go to the D.C. Circuit Court and maybe that would go up to the Supreme Court. It's unclear. I mean, that's when we talk about having a constitutional crisis. This is what we mean, that there's no clear way that this gets these things get resolved. There is also some question as to who would replace Rod Rosenstein. Broadly speaking, people say Francisco, this guy Francisco, who is the Solicitor General. However, this Francisco is a member of a law firm that apparently has some, at Jones Day, that apparently has some connection to the Russian investigation. So Noel Francisco would probably have to be recused from the Russia investigation. Jones Day, which is his former firm, I guess, represents the Trump campaign. Francisco has recused himself in all Supreme Court cases. If it is not Francisco, who you should also know is a Federalist Society guy, it could go to Stephen Engel, who is the Assistant Attorney General for and heads the OLC. This is the Office of Legal Counsel, which essentially functions as an arbiter for the president as to, you know, giving him legal advice. It's legal for you to do this. It's not legal for you to do this. This is where Wu was, you know, saying torture is okay, et cetera, et cetera. Stephen Engel, also a Federalist Society, also a former clerk for Kaczynski, the federal judge who had to resign amid sexual harassment charges. So the Federalist Society has done a pretty good job of inserting their folks into government. Meanwhile, I said on Chris Hayes' program, I don't know, a couple months ago, that Sean Hannity was now arguably one of the most important advisors to the president. I took a little bit of grief for that. Here is Sean Hannity on his radio program on, I believe, September 11th.
Mike in Detroit. Mike, hi, how are you?
Hello, Sean. It's good to speak with you. I'm a long-time listener. I love your Fox show. I'm going to try to be real quick because I got a couple of quick questions, all right? Trump has got so many people in his corner ready to fight. Anything he can turn over or declassify, I can't understand why he wouldn't do it. What's he waiting for, one of his kids to get indicted or something? And if they do get a special counsel to look into the investigators, can it be stopped by the Democrats if they take the House and or Senate? And something else I thought about, if they're for the investigation, the special counsel to begin with, there was supposed to be a crime designated. If there's no crime designated, then can't Trump put an end to it?
Yeah, I think...
Like 30 days. Name the crime or I'm putting an end to it. Put them on their heels.
Listen, I think all of that's going to happen. I think it's going to happen sooner than later. I don't think it's going to happen on a week where 9/11 happened. It's to me, there's other things that we are more important to talk about. And I don't think with a big, massive hurricane about to hit the east coast of the United States that looks like the real deal, that anybody's going to be focused on that. We've got to worry about our neighbors right now. We got to roll up our sleeves and be prepared to help out the people of South Carolina, North Carolina, and elsewhere. That's where our focus is. But afterwards, I would expect that he will do that.
I mean, so he's getting pretty specific, right? We said we wouldn't do it on this week.
But nobody calls Sean Hannity.
There you go.
Like Chris LaPaca's evil twin.
Indeed. We will get more into the story that came out by the New York Times at the beginning of the weekend. That Rod Rosenstein, as the Times wrote it, sounded like he was involved in some type of cabal to wiretap the president. Subsequent to that, the stories from the Washington Post and others made it clear that this was very dubious. We will get into that in a moment. Then, of course, we will turn to everything that's going on with the Kavanaugh nomination, which we may be just, I mean, I don't know if I would bet that there's going to be a hearing on Thursday. All that said, if you like the stories you hear on this show, we think you're going to like the Sierra Club's new storytelling podcast, The Land I Trust. Season 2 of The Land I Trust is out now. It brings you storytellers from across the Western U.S. who share their experiences in harvesting, protecting, and living with the four natural elements, water, fire, wind, and air. The series has 14 tales of individuals across the western part of the country as they share their tales of climate change, clean energy, and everything in between. Each year, the Sierra Club visits a different region of the country for a new set of stories. Season 1, stories from the American South. They talk to musicians, families, farmers, and climate refugees, helping to move the South from coal ash pollution to a brighter, cleaner future. You can listen to The Land I Trust at beyondcoal.org/stories. That's beyondcoal.org/stories or on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Check out season 2 of The Land I Trust today. All right, so let's just go in and deal with this Rod Rosenstein first before we get to more of the Kavanaugh stuff. So the Times came out with a story on Friday. I guess it was happening mid-afternoon that Rod Rosenstein suggested that he secretly, this is the first lines of this. that he secretly record President Trump in the White House to expose the chaos consuming the administration. And he discussed recruiting cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office for being unfit. Now, the problem with this story, and it was amazing to me, the people who did not read this story carefully enough and actually thought that the sources they were getting for this Times piece was from the DOJ or the FBI. But if you read the story carefully, you'll see that's not where they got their sources. Mr. Rosen, and this is about four paragraphs down, and this was in the days after the firing of Comey. And the president divulging classified intelligence to the Russians in the Oval Office. Remember that one?
Not Rosenstein, until you mentioned it, actually.
Right. Rosenstein was 2 weeks into his job, and Rosenstein was apparently upset when Trump had cited his memo as the reason why Comey was fired. Mr. Rosenstein made these remarks about secretly recording Mr. Trump. Now, remember what they said, right? They characterized why Rod Rosenstein wanted, not only that he wanted to record President Trump, but as to why, to expose the chaos consuming the administration. He made the remarks about secretly recording Mr. Trump and about the 25th Amendment in meetings and conversations with other Justice Department and FBI officials. And then here's where you got to read carefully. Several people described the episodes in interviews over the past several months, insisting on anonymity to discuss the internal deliberations. Okay, so it sounds like they heard from people who were actually involved in those discussions. But the people were briefed either on the events themselves or on memos written by the FBI officials, including Andrew McCabe, that documented Mr. Rosenstein's actions or comments. So in other words, these people spoke to people who were there, and then those people spoke to the Times. Or they spoke to people who were not there, who simply read Andrew McCabe's memo. You see the problem here, right? Is somewhere along the lines, having a first person's perspective on what was said and how it was said was absent from this story. And whoever the Times trusted to relate to them this information that existed clearly twisted it in a way that they wanted to, because it comes out hours later, the Washington Post has spoken to someone who was actually there with Rod Rosenstein, and he actually turned to Andrew McCabe, who was there, and said, "So what, Andy? We're gonna wire the president."
Remember when Hillary and the whole bomb or drone Julian Assange thing happened? It was a similar sort of thing.
Yeah, the words are there, but without the context of what they are actually meaning, you could make this story sound like he was trying to wire the president, when the reality is he's looking at someone saying, "Calm down, dude. What are you going to do? Wire the president?" Not, "What are you going to do? Wire the president?" But this now, of course,
whatever way you shake it, unfair.
Well, this ends up being the premise under which why right now Rosenstein is headed to the White House to either negotiate or to basically say to the president, "You're going to have to fire me, sir. I'm not quitting."
Thank you, New York Times. Hashtag resist.
Exactly. They were super psyched to get this story. And there were other people out there who were very quick to sort of say, like, they were FBI, DOJ sources. No, there weren't. There were people who knew FBI or DOJ sources And then we're relating that information like telephone, like a game of telephone later. So read carefully, folks. And look, there's some people who argue that you don't need to fire Mueller if you're Trump. You can, because of his reporting requirements to the acting AG, the acting AG could very well slow down Mueller's investigation by just larding requirements onto Mueller. I would imagine that Mueller's already contemplated this, and that by the time you get, if you do get Democrats coming into the to House, you know, in a couple of months, less effective. So they may end up firing Mueller. We just don't know at this point. We just, you know, and I would be surprised if part of this wasn't driven by the fact that they don't want people to pay attention to Kavanaugh. Mitch McConnell, did you play that Mitch McConnell thing on Friday where he said he was going to blow through this?
I think it. Yeah,
we
no,
should
we
get that.
Yeah, we should play that.
All right. Just trying to figure out where we start with this because it's a there's a lot of information. Here is Mitch McConnell. He said this when did he say this?
He said this on the 21st.
Okay, so Mitch McConnell says this on the 21st. This is on that's Friday, right? Okay. And for at least a couple of weeks, maybe I guess a week, Republican, a senior Republican aide learned of the claims made by a woman, Debbie Ramirez. So this was at the least at the beginning of last week, as Republicans are desperately trying to speed up the Kavanaugh nomination vote. Mitch McConnell must have known by Friday that this story in The New Yorker was about to break. And here he is at the Christian Healthcare Ministries conference speaking to them. Talking about Brett Kavanaugh, who's been accused of some fairly non-Christian behavior.
You've watched the fight. You've watched the tactics. But here's what I want to tell you. In the very near future, Judge Kavanaugh will be on the United States Supreme Court. So, my friends, keep the faith. Don't get rattled by all of this. We're going to plow right through it and do our job.
That's right.
Nice choice of words there.
Yeah,
indeed.
Jesus. Their struggle is going to be for naught. We're just going to do it.
Right. Now, remember, ostensibly, the Republicans want to get to the truth of this matter, which apparently was preordained before Mitch McConnell got up there. Mitch McConnell also knew at that moment that there was a second accusation of sexual misconduct that was about to break. Now, there's multiple theories here. Mitch McConnell never liked Brett Kavanaugh as a pick, sort of knew that there was a lot of problems with Brett Kavanaugh. I've said it before, it might have been just a massive coincidence that there was all of these female-oriented commercials saying what a great guy Brett Kavanaugh was and about how they, you know, they made him a soccer dad or coached an all-girls basketball team.
And he could remember all of their names.
He could remember all of their, they were all distinct human individuals to them.
In a certain sense.
He's so obsessed with teenage girls. How could he possibly be a creep?
Indeed. And he was great in a carpool, which is really helpful. He's actually like doing the traditional mom roles, right? And so maybe it was a huge coincidence. Maybe it was that they wanted to show that he wouldn't repeal Roe v. Wade, which seems a little bit dubious to me. Like, why didn't they roll this stuff out with Gorsuch? Surely Neil Gorsuch has one female friend who could get up there and say he's a really good guy.
Actually, I think we've just exposed the weakest hole in our argument right there.
It's possible he has none, but surely they could have found someone who could pretend for that moment. But they were really concerned about this. Mitch McConnell was also concerned about the enormous amount of documents that Kavanaugh was involved with in the Bush administration. So Mitch McConnell, never a fan of Kavanaugh's, knows that there's a whole host of folks like Brett Kavanaugh, just as reactionary, some instances maybe worse, some instances maybe better from the perspective of normal people. But nevertheless, maybe Mitch McConnell, who felt that his keeping Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court with an open Supreme Court seat when Donald Trump ran was the reason why Donald Trump won. We don't talk about that much, but there's a lot of data that suggests those same people that Mitch McConnell was talking to, the Christian base, came out because there was an open seat on the Supreme Court. And we read the other day that story about how Republican voters don't see any stakes in this. The Democrats supposedly are afraid that an open seat will generate more interest on the Republican side. Supposedly the Republicans are afraid that it's going to demoralize their base. So if I'm Mitch McConnell and I know we're going to cut Brett Kavanaugh loose, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to make it sound like I am putting 110% on the field. But what can you do? The feminazis won. I don't know. That's just a theory as to what's going on here. I don't pretend to think that any of these players think that they have control over this process. I think they put stuff out there and they hope, that things go according to a certain trajectory, but you never know. Certainly, nobody knew what Ed Whelan was up to. And we will get to that story in a moment. Well, let's go to Ed Whelan. So on that same Thursday afternoon, I think it was, or Friday, it must have been Friday, right? Ed Whelan, who is a friend of Kavanaugh's. Did you guys talk about this on Friday?
I think we touched on it, didn't we?
We touched on it. We headlined it at least.
Okay. So Ed Whelan is a conservative lawyer and commentator.
Aren't they all?
And do we have that first tweet about Charlie Kirk?
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with this. This is all interrelated, folks. No, not from Charlie Kirk, but about him. Okay. So, yeah, this tweet, this right, that one right there. Okay, so this comes up. This guy, Jack Goldsmith, who is one of the guys who may have been formerly in the DOJ. And he's a legal commentator and a professor, I believe. The conservative legal movement, he writes, led by the Federal Society, has had extraordinary successes producing A-plus judicial candidates and fostering conservative legal ideas. Its seriousness and achievements contrast sharply with the rest of what passes for conservatism in the U.S. Now, I think that's a dubious claim, frankly, but certainly in terms of their efficacy, all we've done is talk about Federalist Society people in the DOJ, everybody who's ever going to get nominated for the Supreme Court on the right is from the Federalist Society. And some other guy responds, I don't know who he is. One reason for this is that the law, and particularly appellate constitutional law, does not allow space for frauds. The judicial conservative movement isn't open to penetration by grifters and idiot populists because the barriers to entry are too high. No Charlie Kirks here. And there's two ways that it's a problem. One, here's Charlie Kirk weighing in on the Kavanaugh defense a day later that breaking. Kavanaugh says he has calendars from 1982 that exonerate him and show his accuser's story doesn't match up at all. Now, the Kavanaugh people have since admitted, well, just because I didn't put going to try and rape a woman tonight at a party.
Underage drinking party.
Yeah, underage drinking party where hopefully I will be able to cover a woman's mouth while she tries to scream. Girl's mouth while she tries to scream. No, stop. They said that doesn't prove anything. But it's just he does put stuff in his calendar. That his accuser's story doesn't match up at all. I am so impressed that he has 35-year-old high school calendars. This is definitely the type of guy we need on the Supreme Court.
He knew he was going to need an alibi 35 years later.
I mean, very possibly. I don't think it's improbable that a kid like that would do that and keep the calendars. I mean, if I had a calendar that I was not, I may have one from college. It's not inconceivable.
I've got a box full of like my colorings from second grade in my closet at home.
Boom. There you go. So
that's evidence. Of...
And does any of them, does any of them depict you trying to sexually assault any type of woman?
No comment.
Well, because if they didn't, then you'd be in the clear. So getting back to the idea of the conservative legal movement not promoting grifters or liars or frauds. Here is a tweet by Ed Whalen. He, like I say, conservative lawyer and commentator, president of an ethics and public policy Washington think tank, the Ethics and Public Policy Center. And this guy, Ed Whalen, went on and he was teasing it for days. He was tweeting it for days. But before he did, this guy, Matt Whitlock, who is the communications director for Senator Orrin Hatch, deputy chief of staff for Orrin Hatch, had this to say about Ed Whalen. Ed Whalen had tweeted, I think it was on Thursday, or Wednesday, a horrific incident similar to the one the accuser alleges may well have occurred. But if so, she's got the wrong guy. Kavanaugh wasn't present, as this and much more will confirm. And Matt Whitlock, the guy who works for Grassley, Orrin Hatch, on the Senate Judiciary Committee, says keep an eye on Ed's tweets the next few days. Now, why would you say that unless you thought Ed was going to present something blockbuster the next few days? And he did. Meanwhile, understand, too, that there was a story, the Washington Post, Kavanaugh and his allies have been privately discussing a defense that would not question whether the incident happened to Ford, but instead would raise doubts that the attacker was Kavanaugh. This is according to a person familiar with the discussions. Kathleen Parker comes out with a op-ed piece earlier in the week. Maybe there was someone who looked like Kavanaugh, and she doesn't know who it is. I mean, we started to see this everywhere. Nobody took it seriously. But why would all of these people have this same idea? That maybe this 15-year-old didn't know. Now, they supposedly don't have any facts about it, right? So Ed Whalen comes out with a huge tweet thread that lays out the look of the House that... lays out the look of the House in Maryland. that shows pictures of a guy who lived in a house, who had a party, who was in that circle of friends. And those pictures, they looked almost eerily similar to people who didn't know either one of these guys. They both look like white, waspy guys.
Exactly.
And if you look at their pictures today, like, they look somewhat similar. But, and he was so sure of this. I mean, he goes on and on. He said early on, by 1 week today, I expect Judge Kavanaugh will have been clearly vindicated on this matter. Compelling evidence will show his categorical denial to be true. Senator Feinstein will be apologizing to Judge Kavanaugh. And do you have the tweet thread? So he puts out this tweet thread, which, of course, has now been since deleted. And not only floats the idea that there is a doppelganger out there, but names him. I'm not going to say the guy's name, but names him. Coincidentally, this is one of the guys who signed a character witness for Brett Kavanaugh. But this guy is now like a middle school teacher somewhere who's just been named as the attempted rapist of Dr. Blasey Ford back when she was a 15-year-old. And people are stunned because this guy's a lawyer and the president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. One would think that he would know better than to name a private citizen as an attempted rapist.
These people are idiots.
And then, the world. Within moments, we had Dr. Blasey Ford, put out a statement. I knew both of these people pretty well, and I could definitely tell them apart. I know exactly who it was. It was Brett Kavanaugh, and this other person I was friends with.
I've got other one person between who you've ran.
Right, here's one of them.
National.
Kavanaugh's home was 3.6 miles away. Smith's 4.3. Judge's 10 miles. And the female classmate 7 miles. Like, I mean, this is like
deep
the
legal
sign.
Thinking.
Yes. I mean, it's just bizarre. And then everyone around Whelan pretends they had no idea what he was up to. They all say, oh, he kept us all in the dark. Which means one of two things. A, they're lying, which I think is arguable. We should probably have an investigation into that, because if Judge Kavanaugh had any part in trying to accuse a second person, that would show a little bit less than what we want out of a judicial temperament.
Did you see Chuck Grassley? He's like, is there some other guy that looked like you or something?
I mean, most of them, right?
Can we just, there must have been some other guy. You're not that distinctive looking. Can't we just get it out that way? I thought Cory Booker was my magical Negro friend.
It's also funny the degree to which these people cannot get their defenses straight, right? Because you've seen defenders tweeting that Christine Ford is a lying bitch. You've seen them tweet.
Oh, they're throwing everything.
If it did happen, it would be okay. And you've seen people tweet that it was some doppelganger. So I don't know, guys.
And here it's on the IM. Play this at Fox and Friends. Fox and Friends, of course, got right on the ball with this one. Here it is. Here's Fox and Friends. And they may have broken the case. It's early in the morning, so we got to get this out there. Here it is. This is Fox and Friends. This must have been on Friday morning.
There was one other factor, and Ed, I'm sure being down in Washington yesterday, you saw the fact that a fellow by the name of Ed Whelan, who had been one of the clerks for Antonin Scalia and a supporter of Judge Kavanaugh, he looked at what Christine Ford told the Washington Post and figured out, okay, these
now,
people...
Now, pause it for 1 second. There were actually, apparently, Whelan was out asking friends of Blasey Ford before the Washington Post, before she came out and outed herself. So somehow he had some foreknowledge of what was going on, of who she was. But continue.
Ed Whelan, who had been one of the clerks for Antonin Scalia and a supporter of Judge Kavanaugh, he looked at what Christine Ford told the Washington Post and figured out, okay, these people were named, these four people, where did they live? And looked at what she had said and figured out what house it may have happened at, because it was the house closest to the golf course. Yeah. And then realized whose house it was and looked at a picture of the young man who lived there at the time, who was a classmate of Mr. Kavanaugh's, put up side-by-side images. They look a lot alike.
So, really?
Is it a case of mistaken identity? Now, Dr. Ford put out a statement last night insisting she knows the difference between Judge Kavanaugh
Zero
and this
chance.
Other person, and there's no chance. So we'll see.
Right. So we'll see. So we'll see.
A lot of identities.
They still, even then, they were still trying to float it, right? Even after it had been completely shot down and everybody had basically run away from Ed Whelan faster than I've seen anybody run away from anybody ever. And so Ed Whelan has now taken a leave of absence from his ethics group after offering to resign. And they basically said, well, we'll take a month and then we'll revisit, because in a month, nobody's going to care that Ed Whelan is back there in the non-grifter world. Let's just bring that last tweet out. You just got rid of it. In the non-grifter world of conservative legal thought, right? Here it is. Let me just read that again. One key reason for this is the law, particularly appellate constitutional law, does not allow for space for frauds. The judicial conservative movement, this is a former Scalia, right, Clerk, isn't open to penetration by grifters and idiot populists because of the barriers to entry are too high.
Idiot.
No Charlie Kirks here, right. That barrier to entry seems to have maybe dropped a little bit more than this guy was aware of. Ed Whelan,
serious questions like Etch-a-Sketch and analyst.
Meanwhile, we should also just add, I don't even know if I have this story, but I there was a guy hired to round out the communications team for Chuck Grassley on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And turns out that he was available to them because at his last job, he was accused of sexual harassment, and they hired him specifically to marshal the Kavanaugh nomination through the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Well, he's got experience in such things.
I mean, that actually, like, oh, no, I'm super good at dealing with sexual harassment charges. Okay, fair enough.
We're on the same page.
A Cory Booker-ish, my friend.
Unbelievable. All right. So, but let's look at some of the attempts by the right to defend Brett Kavanaugh. Wait, before we get to this video, let's just look at the bus tour that's been going around. As you know, there was no reason for the Republicans to in any way think that Brett Kavanaugh would have any type of trouble with women. They just coincidentally had a crew of people who signed up for the Women for Kavanaugh tour. And if you look closely, almost half of them are actually women. The
more
other half...
gender bending scene than you'd expect.
Right. The, the majority of the... There are six women and... Seven men.
Hi, my name's Dale. I identify as a female Christian who does not believe in rape or abortion.
There you go.
That looks like a fun bus,
man. I mean, first of all, I would imagine that bus could hold about four times the amount of people.
Hi, my name's Brad. I identify as a female conservative.
Tell me this, okay? Here's the thing. Here's the alternate theory about when I suggested to Hayes that they knew this was coming about Kavanaugh, that he had some problem with women. He said, well, that could be because there's concern that he may be overturning Roe v. Wade. But zoom back in on that poster that that woman on the Woman for Kavanaugh tour is carrying. It is a Justice for Life confirm Kavanaugh. And all of them are wearing shirts that say, I am the pro-life generation. I mean, if this was about trying to smooth over the issue of Roe v. Wade, that would be a very bad way of doing it.
Counterproductive.
Slightly counterproductive. So I'm not convinced that's what was going on here. All right, let's look at some of the entries that take place in trying to defend Judge Kavanaugh. This, of course, was from last week, right? Just at the end of the week. This guy, this attorney, this is before the second accuser came forward. Here is on, I guess, Fox and Friends Weekend Edition, a right-wing attorney trying to debate the Kavanaugh accusation.
We only have a minute, and I want to be fair to all three of you. Quickly, each of you, how does this play out over the next week? Does Brett Kavanaugh get confirmed? We'll start with you, Brad.
I believe the judge will be confirmed. This is an act that alleges to have occurred when he was a juvenile, and fundamental to our system of juvenile justice is rehabilitation. And for him to have rose to this level to be nominated to the Supreme Court suggests that he's been rehabilitated, if in fact it is true.
First off, this is... We'll get to the circular reasoning in a moment. Let's just take the low-hanging fruit. Judge Kavanaugh is not being tried for this. Now, maybe there's an opportunity to try him for it, but he's not being tried for this. He's not being adjudicated on the or cannot be convicted of a crime during this process. The question is it possible that he had enough proximity to what went on that makes him unsuitable to be a judge on the Supreme Court? Period. End of story. But the idea that there was no accountability for him as he moved through this process. Remember, after clerking and his mentor has had to leave the judiciary over sexual harassment claims. The idea that he could get through there becomes evidence in and of itself that he's righteous. Right? I mean, this is the way it works in the conservative mind. If you're rich, it's because God deemed it that way. And God would never deem a immoral man rich, so you must be moral as well. It's the same calculation. If you've gotten to the, if you've achieved this amount of success, like, I mean, could you become a Supreme Court justice if you had done something like this? Like, could you become president if you had done something like this?
Good point.
Obviously not.
It's like the secret. Like, it's such a bullshit interpretation of Christianity.
Totally. Totally. And it's all about redemption. And it's all about this Christian worldview that, like, the children are innocent. So innocent that nothing they do can be held against them.
Unless they're black.
Yeah, I was
unless
say,
they're black.
I mean, if you want to flip this and have like a restorative view of justice, sounds good to me. I don't hear that coming from any of these people in any type of structural sense.
And the question's not even whether or not like he's been rehabilitated. And I think like somebody's actually going around saying like, even if he did this, the fact that there's no accusations as an adult shows that he has really turned around. But if what that guy says is true, that this happened when he was younger and he must be rehabilitated, why doesn't Brett Kavanaugh come out and say, I did it, and I'm sorry? Like, I mean, at the beginning of this process, I said that if he'd said that, I would see him getting confirmed. And there being an argument
to confirm him, at least in terms of that. I think there was a lot of other problems with Brett Kavanaugh that we don't talk about anymore. Never mind the fact that, like, all his huge personal debt seemed to go away in the
baseball
6 months
tickets.
Before. Yeah. But, I mean, putting that aside, how can you say that it's irrelevant because it happened when he was a kid when he's saying it never happened?
They still don't have their strategy straight.
They don't. They do not.
Or they just don't care because they think they have the power to push this through.
I think they just don't care. They assume they have the power. They just don't care. They just don't care. And I bring you a supposed CNN focus group of women, five women brought together to talk about Kavanaugh. Now, I want you to hear this, and I want you to know that CNN said this was a focus group. What's the point of a focus group? To get the sense of how Republican women at large in general are perceiving this. We're going to take a sample, sort of a random sample of Republican women to get a real sense of what's going on in the Republican. That's the way they branded this segment. That's the way they led into this segment. Let's hear from these women, and two or three, I think, are women of color. Let's listen to this segment.
A show of hands, how many of you believe Judge Kavanaugh when he says this didn't happen?
I believe him.
I believe him.
How can we believe the word of a woman of something that happened 36 years ago when this guy has an impeccable reputation?
Pause it. That is Lourdes Castillo de la Peña. She is a Republican voter. How can we believe the word of this?
There was nobody that has spoken ill will about him. Everyone that speaks about him, this guy's an altar boy, you know, a scout. He's, you know, because one woman made an allegation. Sorry, I don't buy it.
But in the grand scheme of things, my goodness, there was no intercourse. There was maybe a touch.
Pause it. This is Irina Viarino. She is a Republican voter. That's the way she's ID'd.
Really? 36 years later, she's still stuck on that? Had it happen?
I mean, we're talking about a 15-year-old girl, which I respect. You know, I'm a woman. I respect. And we're talking about a 17-year-old boy in high school with testosterone running high. Tell me what boy hasn't done this in high school?
Pause it. Just go back a little bit. This is Gina Sosa, just a Republican voter. Go ahead.
Tell me what boy hasn't done this in high school? Please, I would like to know.
Why would she come forward if this wasn't true? Because it has basically destroyed her family. She's had to move. She's gone undercover. She's gotten death threats. So if she's lying, why come forward?
She's also destroying his life, his wife's lives, his children's lives, his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, why didn't she come out sooner if she's telling the truth?
Why didn't she come out when he was going into the Bush White House? Why didn't she come out when he's been a federal judge for over a decade?
Why not have a thorough investigation instead of just the two of them, he said, she said?
Because it doesn't matter. It does not matter what everyone else has to say.
This is what happened, though, with Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. The FBI investigated. It took 3 days. Done. Why not now?
Well, this is not the same. This is a high school kid. I mean, it's not Anita Hill story.
Does something that allegedly happened some 30-plus years ago matter today?
You can't judge the character of a man based on what he did at 17.
And I would hate to think that 30, 40 years later, somebody's going to destroy your life because somewhere, at some party, it's not right, but maybe you touched somebody the way you were
and
not supposed to.
And who brought the alcohol for these kids?
As women, though, do you have some sympathy for her, for what she's going through?
No, I have no sympathy. And perhaps maybe she, at that moment she liked him, and maybe he didn't pay attention to her afterwards, and he went out with another girl, and she got bitter, or whatever the situation is. They're kids.
Yeah. Everything.
Okay, well, that last woman who just spoke, Lourdes Castillo de la Peña, has served on the National Senatorial Committee and hosted a 1,000-plate fundraiser for Ted Cruz's campaign at her home. Gina Sosa, who said all 17-year-old boys have done something like this, was a congressional candidate in the Republican primary this year. This year! Angela Vasquez is a community council member in Kendall and Dade County. These were not GOP voters. They were literally GOP operatives. It's all coming from James Sarecki, He also goes on to say, it's odd to assemble a panel of largely Latina women in which most, if not all, the women are Cuban Americans, who are far more conservative and supportive of Trump.
Casanas.
So, first off, it's fine to say, here's a focus group of female Republican operatives.
Here's a focus group of professional Cuban political operatives who are female and Republican.
Let's get a sense of what the Republican establishment, the female Republican establishment, thinks about this. But to pretend and brand it as a focus group of just Republican voters is simply a lie.
Did CNN get punked here? Like, what's going on?
It's weird. It's like CNN's laziness and wanting to act like, yes, we're getting it out in the community to hear what the community thinks. But they have these people in their Rolodex, right? That's where the laziness comes in. And these people, yeah, they want to be, I guess, I don't know. Do they want to be identified as Republican operatives? I mean,
no, they want it to make it. They want to look like we're just average. We're just average women. We don't have a huge agenda here. We're just average women. We just go by what we see.
We're not professionally invested in what we're talking about.
Right. It's not like we're professionals. Unbelievable. All right. We got more on this. A lot more to talk about. We're going to take a break and head into the fun half. We will have hopefully an update on what's going on with Rosenstein. We will talk about the this assault on so-called legal immigration, right? I'm just looking at this list of stories. It's just insane. It's been a crazy day. But we will have more in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half. The number is 646-257-3920. If you enjoy this show and would like to support even the free version, become a member today by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. When you join the Majority Report at jointhemajorityreport.com, a couple of bucks a week gets you 5 shows a week. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you extra content every day. JoinTheMajorityReport.com. Check it out. Also, JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off of your Just Coffee. Michael, tomorrow is Tuesday. What will happen Tuesday night?
What will happen Tuesday night will be the Michael Brooks Show. Alberto Almeida, who is a Brazilian political historian and pollster, is going to join us to review the last week of the campaign there, going into the first round of that election on October 7th. And then Matt Taibbi returns in studio, and we will make fun of Thomas Friedman.
Is Thomas Friedman still alive?
I have no idea. He's still worth making fun of, if anything, just for wish fulfillment.
Even if he is dead.
Yeah, even if he was dead, we would be joking about his death columns. Patreon.com/TMBS.
Jamie?
Yeah, so this weekend on the Antifada, we just recorded an episode with our friend Tanzim about a really cool pamphlet that she co-authored called Overthrowing the Illuminati. The website is Overthrowing the Illuminati. I'm sorry. The pamphlet is How to Overthrow the Illuminati. And it's geared towards black and brown teens who believe in Illuminati conspiracy theories. And it takes this belief seriously, right? It's a sincere attempt to reckon with how fucked up the world is. But it basically leads them to the conclusion that the problem is not the Illuminati. The problem is capitalism. And I think it's a really, really good work of writing. It explains some really complicated Marxist concepts in a really clear, jargon-free way. So we had a really good conversation with her about it.
And that is patreon.com/theantifada. Matt?
I am an audiobook narrator now. I did the first installment of Hope Leslie, a book from 1827 about a lot of different themes. There's a slave from a Pequod chieftain, and so there's a lot of good historical elements of this book. It's really forgotten. Anyway, you have to be a member to hear me narrate that. So patreon.com/literaryhangover if you want that audiobook.
Wait, aren't you going to put that into the public domain?
I am, but after I'm finished. So,
well, you can see it in real. Oh, yeah, yep. Interesting. You get a better, like an insider view as to what how these things are made.
It's like installments.
All right, folks. 646-257-3920 is the number. We will go to the fun half. You can IM us through the app at majorityapp.com. Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude. You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd.
Don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh. Grandpa.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you. You fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jab.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
You think I might be a Nazi?
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up. Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me...
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.